You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most die-hard Georgia fans in the country.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast, brought to you by our great friends at MyBookie. And yes, March is finally here. The madness has begun, or I guess it technically kicks off tomorrow. We're recording this Monday night, so Tuesday is when the first four start, so we'll get things kicked off then. So you still have some time, guys. If you want to get in on all the action, jump in at mybookie.ag, use our promo code UGA, and you know the deal. You're going to get that 50% bonus on top of your first deposit. Time is running out, guys. I mean, again, things start tomorrow. The tournament starts in earnest on Thursday. So if you want to get in on it and you want to start making some money, do it now. Get that bonus, extra money to play with, and just have one heck of a time throughout March Madness. But all right, guys, I am your host, Tyler. And to be quite honest with you, I was not planning to do this episode today. But in case you missed it, Georgia has a game tomorrow. We are in the NIT. We talked about it a little bit on Sunday night's episode where I told you I thought we would be in the NIT. In fact, barring something crazy insane happening, we were going to be in the NIT because we were going to get an auto bid as one of the top two highest ranked teams in the ACC in the net rankings that did not make the NCAA tournament, with Ole Miss deciding to opt out of the NIT. And lo and behold, yes, we are in the NIT and we are hosting Xavier. The Musketeers will be in town tomorrow night, 7 p.m., yes, your boy is going to be there. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to bring home that dub. I wasn't much luck during the regular season. I wasn't much luck with the Tennessee game, the Alabama game, the South Carolina game. Wasn't much luck, but maybe our luck will change tomorrow. So I did want to jump on here and give you guys a quick preview of that first round, the NIT against Xavier. We've been talking basketball all season long and figured why stop now? We're in the postseason. I know it's not the postseason we all want to be in, but we are in the postseason. So why would we stop now? We're not going to. And then at the end of the episode, I actually am going to give you guys a couple of thoughts on the NCAA tournament at large. You guys know I'm a huge college basketball fan. I am a diehard college football fan. I'm a borderline diehard college basketball fan. So I watch a ton of college basketball. So I want to share some thoughts with you guys, the things I've picked up, some observations, some thoughts from the season that was. I don't know if it'll help you when it comes to filling out your bracket, but, you know, doesn't hurt to get a few more thoughts from somebody who watches a lot of college basketball. So we'll do that at the end of the show. But I do want to talk about this first round matchup in the NIT against the Xavier Musketeers. Before we break down the game and talk about what Xavier brings to the table and what are our chances to actually win this game, advance the second round, I want to take a second here on the podcast to address what I want to call the haters. I don't know what else to call them. There are haters out there who just want to poo-poo on the fact that Georgia's in the NIT and want to give me grief for being excited about it on social media. And look, I understand, guys, that the NIT is in some ways, if you want to call it the loser's bracket, I guess I get where you're coming from. Yeah, you're not altogether wrong there because you're not playing for the ultimate goal of the NCAA championship. I fully get where you're coming from in that regard, but you have to understand the context of the situation. Our program is not in the place of the Tennessee program, the North Carolina program, certainly the UConn program. We are not even in the same stratosphere as a program right now with those other programs who actually have realistic goals of competing for a legitimate national championship. We are so far from that that it's not even funny. I hope to get there one day, but we're not there right now. So you know what? I am excited about us being in the NIT, and you can hate on me all you want for it. That's fine. Have your opinions. That's cool. I, for one, am excited, though. And here's why. Again, context. We have not been in the postseason of any sort since 2017. I don't know if you guys looked at a calendar recently. It is now 2024. That is seven seasons, 7 years since we've been in the postseason of any kind. So I am excited that we are taking at least a small step in the right direction. It is progress. And there are people on social media who took exception to me saying that making the NIT is progress. I don't understand how you can even refute that. It is undeniably progress when we have not been in the tournament of any sort, no postseason of any sort, since 2017. Well, getting to the postseason, even if it is the NIT, that's still progress. That's still a step in the right direction. No, of course, it's not the step that we ultimately want to take. I desperately want to be in the NCAA tournament. Again, guys, I am a borderline diehard college basketball fan, and maybe I am just a straight-up diehard college basketball fan. I love this sport, and I have been a season ticket holder for the Georgia basketball team for a long time. I go to all these games, even when we've been terrible, even when we won 6 games a couple years ago. Yeah, your boy was still going to those games. So trust me, I desperately want us to make the NCAA tournament, and I'm not satisfied with only making the NIT, but I also recognize where our program has been, and I recognize that even though it's not where we want to be ultimately, the NIT right now in 2024, in year two of Mike White's program, that is progress of sorts. And I've had some people tell me, oh no, it's only progress if we win the first round game, if we win a game. No, I completely disagree with that. Making the NIT is progress when we haven't done it since 2017. Winning a game, that is another step. Just getting in the NIT is step one. Winning a game once we get there, that's a whole nother step. That's step two. But getting there is undeniably progress. Like, if you want to refute that, if you want to argue that point, you are just straight up being a hater. And that's fine. If you want to be a hater, if you're cool with that, hate away, man. Hate all you want. But you're being a hater. And I guess, as they say, haters gotta hate, so do your thing. But I'm not gonna let you take my excitement away from this Georgia basketball team being in the postseason of some sort. I'm not gonna let you take my excitement away of being able to go to the NIT game tomorrow night here in Athens. I'm excited about it, guys. Like, would I rather be in the NCAA tournament, even in the first four? Yeah, obviously, of course, I'd rather be in Dayton. I would love to be making that trip. And hopefully one day we will. Hopefully it's not even Dayton. Hopefully we'll actually get into the real tournament and not to play in the first four. And I believe that we will eventually. It's going to happen, right? At some point, it has to, right? Just tell me it has to happen, right? Because I don't know if I can go on believing that it's never going to happen. But I'm excited about it. And I hope a lot of you are too. I know not everyone is, and that's fine. Do your thing. But I hope a lot of you are excited because, again, this is something that we have not got to experience at all since 2017. It was just 2 short years ago that we won six total games, not conference games, 6 total games. So you fast forward 2 years, you tell me that we get into the NIT. I tell you, you know what? That's progress, right? Now, next year, I think that we need to be making the NCAA tournament, and we'll get to that later on once the season is over. We'll have that conversation at a later time. But right now, you know what? I'm cool with it. I'm cool with where we are. I'm cool with the progress that we're making, and hopefully we can continue that trajectory, that upward trajectory, to get to that point that, yes, I agree with you, we all want to ultimately be in the NCAA tournament. So off my soapbox now, I just had to get that off my chest because, I mean, I know it was a very small minority, as it always is, a vocal minority, but I just was kind of somewhat taken aback. I guess I shouldn't have been taken aback because people just like to hate. It is what it is. So with that off my chest, let's go ahead and go to our first break here real quick. This is probably going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because I wasn't planning on doing one, but I felt compelled to come on here and address the haters and also preview this NIT first round game against Xavier because, again, it's Georgia basketball making the postseason, and like, it's been a long time, so I didn't want to bury our heads in the sand and act like it wasn't actually happening. So I want to go ahead and take the first break and remind you once again about our great friends at MyBookie. I know most of you right now, you're sweating over your brackets, you're pouring over the games, trying to figure out who's going to win, who's your champion, all of those things. So while you're doing that and you're getting acquainted with all these teams, go ahead and sign up for a brand new account at MyBookie. Now, don't only pick a bracket, pick the winners, actually bet on the winners, and put some money in your pocket this March. So go to mybookie.ag, use our promo code UGA. There's no better time. Actually, the only better time to get in on the action is at the beginning of college football season, in my opinion, but there's no better time outside of college football season than right now. So jump on. There's a ton of action this week, and you guys have so many games to bet on, so many opportunities to win money, and get that 50% bonus by using our promo code UGA when you sign up for a brand new account. And you can start betting anything, anytime, anywhere, only with my bookie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, guys. Actually, before we break down this NIT game against Xavier, I should have said this at the outset of the episode. I'm an idiot. I got really hyped up on my soapbox there. But I also want to make sure everyone knows that I have, once again, by popular demand, restarted our Glory UGA, our annual Glory UGA, maybe next year bracket challenge. Again, I love college basketball. We have a ton of fun with this every year. It's always fun just to see how many of you can beat me and Curtis, and oftentimes it's quite a few of you. But once again this year, we do have a Alumni Hall gift card for the winner, a $100 Alumni Hall gift card. So hey, not too shabby, right? For the winner of our bracket challenge. So make sure to jump in on that. And you can find the link to join on our Twitter account. You just go to @glory_UGA on Twitter. And right up there at the top, I'm going to have it pinned for you guys. We're going to have a link to our bracket challenge. So you can join that, share that with all the Georgia fans in your life. We'd love to have only Georgia fans in there. It doesn't usually work out that way. I think last year, one of the top three winners was like some random dude from Nebraska. And I was like, oh, that's not the intent of this, but it is what it is. So jump in there and let's have some fun with it, guys. But okay, with that, let's talk about this matchup with Xavier. Now, this is a Xavier program that historically, certainly in recent years, has been much better than our basketball program. Like, that's indisputable. They have been on a different level. This year, however, they've taken a step back, and it's not because they don't have good players. They do have some good players, but really one of the things that hurt them were injuries. One of their top players, who's been around seemingly forever, Xavier, he's a big man named Zach Fremantle. He missed the entire year, and he was going to be a big part of what they did, and he didn't play all year. So that really hurt this team. They ended up 16-17 overall. If you look at the Big East standings, they finished almost last. They were... ninth in the Big East, 9 out of 11 teams. Only Georgetown and DePaul were worse. Georgetown won 2 games in the Big East. DePaul was blanked. They were defeated in the Big East. They won 0 games. They were 0-20, 3-29 overall. Truly one of the worst teams in all of power basketball. But Xavier was 9-11 in the Big East. And guys, the Big East was not great this year. Yes, you have UConn. Yes, you have Marquette, two top 10 teams. And you can throw Creighton in there. So that's three top 11 teams. Creighton's a top 10 caliber team. So they're really top heavy with three really, really good teams at the top up there. But the rest of the Big East was very, very average this year. And there was clearly not a ton of respect for the Big East within the committee room, because Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova, Providence were all on the bubble. And there was a thought that Seton Hall and St. John's, like most of the bracketologists, had them in the tournament. They did not get in the tournament. They are in the NIT. So is Villanova. So is Providence. So Xavier was not good in the Big East this year, and it was a down Big East. So this is not a traditional Xavier team. It's not the type of Xavier team you've seen over the past 5, 6, 7 years. They still do have some good players, though. Their best player is a guy, he's a guard by the name of Desmond Claude. And when I watch Desmond Claude play, he's kind of like a combo guard forward, really. I mean, he's a pretty big dude. He's 6'6", about 210 pounds. He's classified as a guard, and he can shoot the ball a little bit. He is not a great three-point shooter, guys. He shoots just a hair over 20% from the three-point line. And he's a sophomore, by the way. He was a freshman last year. He played about 20 minutes a game as a freshman, and that really bumped up this year. He played about 34 minutes a game this year, and he was their guy. As a freshman, he was a little bit better of a three-point shooter, just a tick under 30% as a freshman. This year, all the way down to right about 20%. It's not like he's not shooting threes. He shoots about three a game, but he's making less than one a game. But he's a big body guy at 6'6", 200-plus pounds. He can get to the rim really well, finish over length. He can finish against contact, does a really good job getting the rim and then finishing once he gets there. He is their best player. He averages 16 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, 3.2 assists. So he really is an all-around player. When I watch them play, I think he does more for that team than anybody else. But their best scorer is a guy named Quincy Olivari. And he is a guy that they got as a transfer. He played 4 years at Rice, came over to Xavier this year, and he plays about 32 minutes a game. He is a legit guard. He's kind of like their point guard. He's 6'3", about 200 pounds. He's actually from Atlanta. And he is a scoring guard. He averages 19 points a game. Now, he is a knockdown three-point shooter. He shoots over 40%. In fact, almost shoots about 42-ish percent. And he jacks up a lot of threes. He shoots almost seven threes a game, I should say. Makes a little bit more than three of them a game. So this guy is a legit weapon from the outside. And you guys know that we have had issues defending the three-point line all year long. Now, that's primarily related, to my opinion, to the fact that we simply do not have a rim protector. Yes, I know we have a seven-footer in Russell Chiwa. The man can barely get off the ground. He is anything but a rim protector. He has value for our team, but not as a rim protector. So when we don't have a rim protector and teams try to attack the paint, what we do is we dig way too much on drivers, and that leaves open guys at the three-point line, and they just knock down those shots, especially when you have a guy like Quincy Olivari who shoots almost 42% from three. Davion McKnight is another good scoring option for Xavier. He's another transfer. He played a couple years at Western Kentucky. He's now over at Xavier. He's also a solid three-point shooter, not quite as good as Olivari. He shoots about 38% from three, shoots about 2.5 a game. And he's a smaller guy. He's 6 foot, 195 pounds, but he's quick and he can shoot. So they have a couple really good guards. That's the strength of their team. And that makes sense with a guy like Zach Fremantle not playing this year. He was their big man. He's a post scorer. He's a guy that can step out and knock the three down. It's like a stretch four, stretch five kind of guy. Rebounds, physical guy, all those things. Without him in the game this year at all, you kind of have to lean on your guards. And they got three pretty good ones. Now, the one big man they do have this year, he's a freshman. They're having to lean heavily on a freshman, Lazar Jokovic. He's a 6'10", 230-pound freshman from Serbia. As far as I know, no relationship to Novak. And his playing time has really picked up the past couple of weeks. He didn't play a ton most of the year. He was in and out of the lineup. Some games he played 20 minutes. Some games he played like 4 minutes. It was a game-by-game thing, and that makes sense when you're talking about a freshman. But the past couple of weeks, especially the Big 12, the Big East tournament, I should say, he played a lot. He played 35 minutes against UConn in the quarters of the Big East tournament. Played 33 minutes against Butler. Played 33 minutes before the game before that against Marquette. So recently he has been playing more, but he's not a big time scoring option. In fact, he only has one double digit scoring game the entire year, and that was the third game of the season, at least the third game that he played, and that was against Bryant. Outside that, the guy has not scored more than 9 points in a single game. He's also not much of a defensive presence. He only has a handful of blocks on the year. So he's got 8 blocks total on the season. 3 of those were in one game against Winthrop. So he's not much of a defensive presence. He is a big body out there. He's a freshman. He's learning. I think he's going to be a good player for them eventually, but he's not quite there yet. So if we can beat their guards off the dribble, I think we have a chance with Silas Dimery and Justin Hill to be able to get the rim a lot like we did against Florida, because we were able to beat their guards off the dribble. Their guards can simply not guard the ball whatsoever. That's one of the concerns I have for Florida in the NCAA tournament, although they can score. score like crazy if we can beat their guards off the dribble. Now, Desmond Claw is a good defender. The other two, Olivari, I don't think they're not as good defenders. So if we can get the matchups we like and get to the rim, I think we have a chance to be really aggressive and put some points up by getting to the basket against this Xavier defense. Now, if you look at the various metrics out there, Xavier has been better than us this year, even though our records are similar. If you go back to the non-conference, they got a couple of good wins in the non-con. They beat Cincinnati, who did not make the NCAA tournament. They were firmly on the bubble all year long. Good, solid basketball team. They also beat St. Mary's. They beat St. Mary's by 20, and St. Mary's is a team that got a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. They beat Gonzaga in the WCC tournament. They beat them twice this year, 2 out of 3 games. So that's a good basketball team, and Xavier beat them by 20. So they had some solid wins in the non-con. They won a couple of good games, beat a couple of good teams in the Big East schedule, just didn't win enough of them. But it's still a solid team. And according to the metrics, they are better than us if you put much stock into those things. So we're like basically right at 100. We are still right now at exactly 100 in the net rankings. And Xavier, not that they were great. They weren't good enough to get in the NCAA tournament, but they were number 64 in the net rankings. KenPom, which is actually a metric I like far more than the net, they're also significantly higher than us in the KenPom rankings. We are 90th in KenPom, and Xavier's all the way up at 56. So the metrics tell you that Xavier's a better team, and you know what? They probably are. But we get this game at home. I would like to think that we have the motivational edge in this game because, again, we have not had any postseason berth of any sort since 2017. Our team has been hungry for this. Our program's been hungry for it. Our fan base, at least most of you that aren't haters, have been hungry for this. I have a feeling this deck is going to be fairly rocking on Tuesday night. I know, again, I'm going to be doing my part. We have a bunch of young guys who are trying to build something with Mike White, guys like Silas Dimery and Blue Kane, and even Justin Hill, who I think might actually come back again next year. We'll see. He hasn't made an official decision that he might transfer to. Who knows in this day and age of the transfer portal. But we have some young guys and a nucleus that is trying to build something. And this is a step, regardless of what some people out there think, it is a step in the right direction. So I think that we have the psychological, mental edge in this, the motivational edge, and the fact that we're at home also helps. So I think that can help us overcome what has been a better Xavier team throughout the entirety of the season, but they're not so much better than us that we don't have a chance to win this game at home. So it's going to be a tough game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're just going to roll over them. That's almost certainly not going to be the case. We have to actually come to play. You know, I don't know, maybe actually try to defend someone, actually run some semblance of an offense, attack the defensive glass, things that we have not done really well all year long. Let's try to, I don't know, maybe change that a little bit here in the postseason and see if we can make a run. So I think that we have a good shot to win this game. I'm going to stop short of predicting it because, you know, it's Georgia basketball right now, and it's a fool's errand to try to predict that we're going to win any game. But I do think that we have a chance. I'm optimistic that we are going to be able to pull off this win and get to the second round. So let's go there next. If, let's play this game, the if game, if we do find a way to win this game and beat Xavier in the first round tomorrow night, what would probably end up happening is that we go on the road to play Wake Forest. Okay, Wake Forest is playing Appalachian State. They play on Wednesday at 8 p.m. So Wake Forest is a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. They were right there in the bubble. They were one of the first teams that was left out of the tournament. And yes, you might be thinking, well, Tyler, isn't this a Wake Forest team that we already beat once this year? Yes, you are correct. But a couple caveats there. We beat them at home. That game will not be at home. It will be in Winston-Salem. Very different story. Also, they were not a fully healthy team at that point. Efton Reed, who is their big man, he had a really good year for them. He played at LSU to open his career, then transferred to Gonzaga, didn't play a ton there, and he transferred to a third school in Wake Forest this offseason. And again, he was not playing early in the year. He was one of those guys because he had transferred. It was his third school. He was waiting on clearance from the NCAA, and they had that whole lawsuit, and then the court essentially ruled that, hey, the NCAA has no power to limit the number of times a player transfers, so all those guys that were waiting on a ruling from the NCAA, they just went ahead and started playing, and that was what happened with Efton Reed. But that was after we had already played them, so they were not a fully healthy, functional team at that point. It will be a different team. Hunter Salas is a guy that, you know, Gonzaga wishes they still had. He was at Gonzaga, and they chose to play a guy named Nolan Hickman over him. And Hickman's fine, but he is not as dynamic as Salas. And Salas has been one of the most dynamic players in the entire ACC this year. Averaged about 20 points a game. He can shoot the three. He can get to the rim. Really athletic player. Really, really good player. He's an NBA player. So if we are able to beat Xavier some way, somehow, and we get to the second round, I don't love our chances against Wake Forest. They are just simply a better team. Like most of the teams that we played in the SEC, they just are going to outgun us. They're going to outman us. They just have better players. I would say It is true. Yes, we did beat them earlier in the year. So it's not that they're so much better than us that we have no chance to win that game. I just know how we play on the road, and we've had trouble outside of that one game against South Carolina, and we've had a lot of trouble overcoming the talent deficiency, the talent gap against teams that are more talented than us. Like, we've pushed teams, but we just haven't really been able to close the door and win some of those games. So maybe we can win. I know, yes, we did beat them early in the year, but I find it unlikely for us to get past the second round if we do some way somehow beat Xavier. I'm hopeful I'm wrong. I certainly am, but I don't know. In fact, like, even if we somehow beat Wake Forest and we get to the quarterfinals, which, by the way, would be played in Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis this year. It's always traditionally been played in Madison Square Garden. They're making that change this year. It's going to be at Hinkle, which actually would be really cool to go to. I kind of rather go there than Madison Square Garden. I've been in New York enough times, whatever. I've been to Indy for the national championship game, but never been to Hinkle. It's a historical stadium. I'd love to go there. It'd be really cool. But I have my doubts. I have significant doubts that we'll get there. But even if we do, we got a pretty tough draw. The number two seed in our part of the bracket is Ohio State. And that is a team that was as hot as anybody in the country late in the year. And they fired Chris Holtmann about two-thirds of the way through the year, who was their head coach. They were really struggling. They have a good team. And they couldn't put it together, man. And then Jake Diebler takes over, and they just go on this run. And hey, they almost beat Illinois to get into the Big Ten championship game. And if they would have gotten that game, could they have beaten Wisconsin? Yeah, I think they absolutely could have. So they could have snuck in. And they moved up to a two seed in the NIT. They didn't quite get in, but they're playing really good. And that's a talented basketball team. Talk about another team that just has more talent than us. Hands down, guys like Rodney Gale and Bruce Thornton, that's just a more talented team than we are. And they are definitely playing their best basketball of the season, which is not something you can say about our team right now. So I don't have any illusions as to how this is going to go for us. I have no expectation that we're going to win the NIT or even get to the semis or, heck, even the quarterfinals. I guess there's always a chance. But again, I'm just happy that we've gotten to the postseason. We have a chance to win a game or two in advance and see what happens. And that's progress. Anything that we get from here, getting in the tournament, is progress. It's a step in the right direction. A small step, but a step. Winning a game is another step in the right direction. Heck, winning two games, another step. So right now, it's about taking steps towards the ultimate goal of getting to the NCAA tournament and, of course, advancing once we get to the NCAA tournament. We're not there yet. We have to understand where our program is, but this is a step in the right direction, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch and see what happens on Tuesday night. So, yeah, I hope everyone enjoys it. If you're not into it, that's okay. Like, I guess don't watch then. But I'm excited about it, as I keep telling you. And, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night, and it should be a lot of fun. But, all right, guys. We got one more break here. When we get back, I will share some quick thoughts with you guys on the NCAA tournament. We're going to call this a Georgia fan's guide to the NCAA tournament. But first, let me remind you really quickly about our wonderful friends at Alumni Hall. You guys know how much I love Alumni Hall. They have been so good to me over the years. And I know they've been good to a lot of you guys out there because you've let me know that. And it's not surprising at all because Alumni Hall has the best selection of Georgia gear that you're going to find anywhere. They're the best brands, all your favorite brands, whatever your preference is, they're going to have it. They have the best styles. Everything you could want with a Georgia logo, Alumni Hall has got you covered, guys. Just take my word for that. So if you're in the market for some Georgia gear, stop in today inside the Edgebridge Shopping Center here in Athens or online at alumnihall.com and get the best Georgia gear anywhere because Alumni Hall is where the Bulldogs shop.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys. A Georgia fan's guide to the NCAA tournament. I know a lot of you are college basketball fans, and you watch a lot of college basketball like I do. I know some of you are maybe casual college basketball fans. You get into it this time of year when March Madness rolls around. And you maybe are curious, like, who's actually good? And I do have some thoughts for you because I am a guy who watches a lot of college basketball. You might be asking yourself, like, why would I listen to you, bald man? Like, who cares what you have to say? I get it. I respect that. I'm certainly not an expert, but what I am is a guy who watches a freaking ton of college basketball. I watch like 15 to 20 games a week, guys. I watch a lot of college basketball because I love the sport. I'm a college guy. And not to brag or anything, but I am also a guy who has won his office March Madness bracket 3 years running and has picked the last two national champions in those brackets. So no, not an expert, but I do watch a lot of college basketball, and I have a pretty good idea of who's good, who's not, who are the pretenders, who are the actual legit contenders, who to trust, who not to trust, who might be some of the teams that could upset somebody, who are the double digit seeds. So I just thought I'd share some thoughts with you guys. Take it with a grain of salt. I'm just one dude who watches a lot of college basketball, and I'm not telling you have to care, but if you do care and you want some thoughts on college basketball, I've got some quick ones here for you today. So let's take a look at this bracket. I want to start by going through the teams that I think can win. Actually, I know the national champion is going to come from one of the following teams: UConn, the defending national champion, Houston, Purdue, Auburn, believe it or not, Arizona, North Carolina, Creighton, and Marquette. That is a list of eight teams. Your national champion will be one of those eight teams. Why am I so certain of that? Because that's what history tells us. What do I mean by that? Well, let's go back to the KenPom rings, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. I put a lot of faith in the KenPom. I think it's the best metric out there. Since 2015, every single national champion has finished inside the top 25 of both KenPom's adjusted offensive efficiency and KenPom's adjusted defensive efficiency. Every year since 2015. And those eight teams I read off to you are the only eight teams in America right now going into the NCAA tournament that are in the top 25 in both KenPom's adjusted offensive and adjusted defensive efficiencies. In fact, let's take this one step further. There's only been one team, the 2014 UConn National Championship team, one team since 2002, which is when KenPom started doing his metric. One team, one national champion since 2002 that has finished outside the top 25 in either adjusted offensive or adjusted defense. Connecticut in 2014 finished 39th in adjusted offense. They were 10th in adjusted defense. That's the only team, the only national champion that's done that in the last, 22, 23 years? So yeah, that's why I say your national champion better be one of those eight teams that I read off to you. If you're thinking Duke, nope, they don't qualify. If you're thinking Tennessee, they would have qualified most of the year. They're down to 29th in adjusted offensive efficiency now. I guess there could always be, you know, the outlier, but not right now. Alabama, hell no. Alabama is 112th in adjusted defensive efficiency. Baylor, nope. Gonzaga, not a chance this year. Those are your teams. Those are your eight teams. So your champion better be one of those eight teams. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know which one of those eight teams I'm even picking right now. This is a very strange year. I feel like people say this every year. I don't think it's true every year. For me, this year, it is true. Like, there's a couple of those teams. I think there's, again, like eight teams that maybe could win. I would even narrow that list down of those eight teams, like realistically watching them all year. I think there's maybe like five of them that could win, five, maybe six. UConn obviously could win it. Houston could win it. Purdue could win it. Auburn, I'm iffy on. Like, I've seen them lose to some teams that aren't very good, but that's kind of been the case with everyone. I mean, Houston, I mean, Iowa State is good, but Houston just got steamrolled by like 30 points in the Big 12 championship game, and they kind of struggle offensively at times. Like, I don't know. Like, when they play good defensive teams, they can struggle at times there. Tennessee's a team that I did believe on earlier in the year. I actually had a future bet on them to win the national title, like plus 1,600 odds, because I like the odds there, but I'm kind of down on them lately. I don't like how they played. When Dalton Connect doesn't show up big, I have questions about whether Tennessee can actually score. And that's always been the bugaboo with Tennessee, right? It's like they've been great defensively under Rick Barnes, but they just had these terrible scoring drops. They weren't good enough offensively. Dalton Connect might be the best offensive player in the country this year. So he's changed that equation. But if teams can take him away, does Tennessee have another guy that can step up and carry that load? Zakai Ziegler at point guard, yeah, he can at times, but is he a guy that's going to be able to do that every time you need him? I don't know, man. I don't know. Santiago Vescovi, he's been there forever, and he used to be one of their top scorers, but the guy's afraid to shoot now. He won't even shoot open shots. Josiah Jordan James, the guy, was a five-star recruit. He's been an absolute bust. He's been there forever. He's been solid, but he has not even been remotely close to a five-star. Jonas Adu, their big man, has become a better scorer, but I still have concerns. Like, it's Dalton Kincaid, and if he's not scoring, like, does Tennessee have that secondary and that third option to pick up the slack against the better teams they're going to be facing in the NCAA tournament? Can they do that over the course of six games? I have questions there. I'm torn on this. I didn't want to put the money on Tennessee, but I was like, man, that's a really good value bet, but it's kind of one of those situations where I was going to root against myself because I just can't bring myself to possibly root for Tennessee to win anything like that. So that's the whole thing. I didn't put that much money on it, so I'd rather them lose than me win that bet. So I don't trust Tennessee right now. North Carolina is right there in the bubble. They're sixth in defense efficiency, only 24th in offenses. So they qualify, but they're right there on the edge. I don't think North Carolina is a team that can win the national championship. I think they could get to a Final Four potentially, win it. I don't think so. Creighton, same thing. I think the same thing about Marquette. I actually have another future bet on Marquette to win the whole thing. I put that on them like before the season started. But they haven't been, they have a bunch of guards, but they don't all shoot well. So if they're getting out in transition, they're forcing turnovers. Marquette is really, really good. That's what they want to do. It's Chaka Smart. Havoc, right? Remember when he was at VCU, create havoc, force turnovers, get out in transition. You have a lot of speedy guards, athletic guards, but they don't all shoot that well. Cam Jones, their best shooter. Also, here's the thing about Marquette. Their best player, Tyler Kolek, who won the Big East Player of the Year last year. He's fantastic. He's a point guard, plays with an edge. I mean, I love the guy. I love watching him play. Big time. One of my favorite players in the country. But he's been dealing with an oblique injury for the past couple of weeks. He missed the entire Big 12 tournament. He even missed the championship game. Didn't play in that game. And people are thinking maybe he plays, but no, he didn't. So when you're talking about your best player, even if he's probably going to play in the tournament, they say he is, but is he going to be 100% healthy? I don't know. I don't think you can trust that, man. So that's one thing you have to think about when you talk about Marquette. But yeah, for me, I think it's UConn, it's Houston, it's Purdue. Arizona, I have a future on them to also win. I got them at like plus 1,300 odds. I like those odds, but it's another team I don't really trust because they have just lost to way too many bad teams. Like, the Pac-12 was terrible this year, and they lost to too many teams in the Pac-12 that were just not good, not tournament teams. So they're talented. They can beat anybody on any given day, but they can also just show up and completely wet the bed. They did that plenty of times this year. So not too confident in them, but they're capable. So yeah, I think Connecticut, Houston, Purdue could definitely see all three of them winning it. I could maybe see Tennessee winning it if Dalton Kincaid just goes crazy and they get the right matchups, maybe. Arizona, possibly. So those five teams, I mean, Auburn technically, like, they're top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency, but I don't know, man. There's something about Auburn. Who is their top scorer? Is it Janai Broome? Like, if your best scorer is a big man in the tournament, that's usually not a recipe for success. Same thing with Purdue with Zach Edey, but their guards are much better this year. They're more experienced. They went out and got Lance Jones. He's a good player. They're much better offensively than they were last year. Their guards are just far more experienced and confident than they were at any point last year. So I actually do believe in Purdue this year. And Zach Edey is just like a different level, man. I mean, he's going to be this two-time player of the year in college basketball. So if your best player at Auburn is Janai Broome, I don't know, man. Like, who are your best guards? Like, Katie Johnson coming off the bench? I mean, you start Aiden Holloway as a freshman, and he's up and down. Chad Baker-Mazzara is also a guy that can fill it up at times, but up and down. Jalen Williams is a good player, but he's a forward. So I think you have to have really good guard play in the NCAA tournament, and I don't know that Auburn has that. So anyway, that's the top of the bracket. Now, one thing I do want to go over here is I want to give you some teams that I like, but I just don't trust. It's kind of like, you know, the old saying is like, hey, you know, son, I love you, but I don't like you, right? Well, I have some teams that I like. I think you're good, but I don't trust them because they don't really play defense. And those teams, to me, are very clear. They're mainly SEC teams. Alabama is the best offensive team in the country. I watch them play. Like, when they're at their best, I'm like, they're unbeatable. Like, nobody can beat Alabama. Like, when they're playing at their best. But then every other game or so, you're just like, they can't defend anyone. Like, they're just not even, they don't even try to defend people at times. They cannot stop the ball. They win shootouts, but there are teams that can just simply outscore them. Florida did that in the quarterfinals, the SEC tournament. Kentucky did that. I mean, Kentucky in that game in Rupp Arena could have dropped like 125 points on Alabama. I think they ended up dropping like 115, 117, something like that. So they just don't defend. Like, if you're an Alabama fan, that sucks for you because that is the best offensive team in the country, and I don't think it's particularly close. Like, they are elite offensively, and they do the analytics thing where they shoot threes and they get to the rim. They, like, Nate Oates, their head coach, his thing is, okay, we want to take the most efficient shots out there. And to him, the most efficient shot is a free throw. So you want to attack the rim, get to the line. The second most efficient shot is a layup at the basket. So they want to attack the basket. Third most efficient shot is a three-point basket. They don't even take mid-range shots. So and that, in theory, it sounds great. But what happens in the tournament, like, so what San Diego State did them last year when they got knocked out, teams play drop coverage because they are daring Alabama to take the mid-range jumper, and they simply won't do it. And they'll just drive into a bunch of bodies in the paint, and they can't finish over the length, over the bodies. They turn the ball over, bad shots, and the other team gets out in transition, and they get beat. So I think they take the analytics thing way too far. I get the idea, but I think they take it way too far. So I think Alabama is one of those teams that's so dangerous. They can beat anybody, guys, when they are on, and if they just decide on any given day to just maybe, I don't know, defend somebody, absolutely, they can beat anybody. I'm talking anybody. They can beat UConn. They can beat Houston. They can beat Purdue. They can beat anybody in the country. I just don't think they can do it for six straight games. I don't think they can go six straight games playing the good enough caliber defense that they need to in order to win a national championship. Because again, they are, what, 112th nationally in KenPom's adjusted defensive efficiency. Like, that's just not good enough. Like, it's not even in the ballpark. It's not even remotely close. Like, that's not even an outlier. Like, that's in a wholly different whole. If they won the national title this year, they'd be in a totally different solar system. Like, that's insane. So I like them, but I don't trust them. I can say the same thing about Florida. I think Florida could beat anybody. That is an elite offensive team. But like Alabama, to a lesser degree, but like Alabama, they simply don't defend. They're 83rd nationally in KenPom's adjusted defensive efficiency. They can light the ball. They can light you up from three. They can get to the rim. They have three really, really good guards. They actually have a couple big men. Tyree Samuel, they can't shoot free throws. He's really good around the rim. They got some stretch fours, some stretch fives. They can score, man, and they can light you up. But can they defend well enough for six games to win a national title? I don't think so. In fact, no way. Could they get to a Final Four? Maybe, with the right matchups and things fall their way with the bracket. But I think they'll probably top out Elite Eight. But again, like, they're dangerous. I think they're good. But I just can't trust them to win enough games to get to a Final Four or win a national championship. I can say the exact same thing about another SEC team, Kentucky. I've been telling you guys all year that been watching our basketball episodes or listening to our basketball episodes, I think Kentucky is the most talented team in the country. I will stand by that. Kentucky is the most talented team in the country, like, bar none. Like, I'm dead serious about that. But they have a bunch of freshmen, and they also simply don't play defense. They're fifth nationally in adjusted offensive efficiency. Again, dropped like 115 on Alabama a couple weeks ago, but 108th nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency. Now, how much of that was from the beginning of the year with all these young guys, and they were trying to figure out how to play defense? A lot of it, sure. They have gotten better defensively, but they're still just simply not good enough to win a national championship. Could they get to a Final Four? Yes, like Alabama. If the bracket breaks the right way for them and they're just playing out of their minds, absolutely. They're so talented, that's not out of the question. I just don't think they can do it six games in a row, win national title, with defense as porous as theirs has been all year. So I really like them. I want to pick them to go very far because I think they're insanely talented and so, so deep. But you got to play defense, man. You got to have guards and you got to defend. They got the guards. They got the guards in spades. You got Reed Shepard, who's unbelievable. Look, right now, Robert Dillingham might end up being the first pick of the draft. Like, he might have worked himself into that. They got him. This guy doesn't even start, okay? Justin Edwards starts, and G.J. Wagner starts. So they got a ton of guards. And they also have a vet in Antonio Reeves, who is one of the best shooters in the country. So they can score on anybody. Just can you defend? So those are some teams that I like, but I just simply don't trust them. Now, let me give you some teams I think are really overvalued. Number one, Kansas. Kansas sucks. Like, okay, that's a bit aggressive, but they're not good. Like, I'm just telling you guys, this is not Kansas of old. It's not the Kansas team that won the national championship 2 years ago. That is not this team. And also, their two best players missed the entire Big 12 tournament with injuries. Kevin McCullough has been in and out of the lineup for basically the past month with a deep bone bruise. He's been trying to play through it, but he'll play a game and sit out a game. He just can't do it consistently. Hunter Dickinson, the transfer they got from Michigan, is a big man who's really, really good, one of the best big men in the country. He also missed the Big 12 tournament. So they say they're going to play in the NCAA tournament, but how healthy are you? And even when they play, like, that team has zero depth. Their starting five is right up there with just about anybody in the country, but they literally have zero depth. They have no one they trust off the bench. You might say, well, who cares? Well, guys, in the NCAA tournament, they start calling fouls a lot closer. somebody's going to get in foul trouble. Hunter Dickinson's going to get in foul trouble. And if those guys aren't in the court, they take a major, major step back. They're not the same team. So I just don't trust Kentucky. I don't trust Kentucky fully, but I certainly don't trust Kansas. In fact, I might have Kansas going out like in the first or second round. Like, I'm strong considering that. I just do not trust this team. They're 22-10 overall. The Big 12 was good this year, but man, Kansas is not the same caliber Kansas team. So that's a team I think is overvalued. I know they won a lot of good games. They beat a lot of good teams. So the four seed, I guess, makes sense. But I do not think that's a classic four seed. Duke is another team that maybe I should put them on the list of teams that I like, but I don't trust. They have gotten better. Early in the year, I was like, I don't like Duke at all. But they have gotten better. Jared McCain has become a better shooter. He's been more confident out there. But I just like, who's their alpha guy? Is it Filipkowski? Because I don't think it is, man. Like, at times he can be that guy, although he's now become like the most hateable Duke player in recent memory. He's become that guy for them. But I don't know who their alpha guy is. I don't think that, like, they're solid defensively. I don't think they're good enough defensively. And offensively, I think they come and go at times. I think they're really young, and I don't trust them to win six games in a row. So Duke, I'd kind of put that team as not as overvalued as Kansas is, in my opinion, but still overvalued. Gonzaga, another team, as a five seed? What? Gonzaga as a five seed? I don't understand that, man. Like, I know they played a really tough non-con, but they didn't win any of those games. They didn't beat really anybody in the non-conference, and they lost twice to St. Mary's. There's really no one else worth even mentioning in the West Coast Conference. So, like, I just don't get how Gonzaga is a five seed. And look, it's a lot like Kansas. Gonzaga has been awesome. They're the longest consecutive streak of getting to Sweet 16s of anybody in the country. I think it's like 8 straight years they've gotten to the Sweet 16. But this is not that kind of Gonzaga team, guys. I'm just telling you right now. Gonzaga is 25-7. If you look at who they played in the non-conference, yes, they challenge themselves, which they do every single year, but they didn't win any of those games. Okay, they beat Syracuse. Syracuse, like, they didn't make the tournament, okay? Like, whatever. They lost to Purdue. They did beat UCLA. UCLA did not make the tournament. So UCLA did not end up being a good basketball team. They really struggled at times. They beat USC. USC had a losing record this year. Also, not a good basketball team. So they lost to Washington, who was not good either. They lost to UConn. No shame in that. UConn's really good. They lost to San Diego State. They did go on the road and beat Kentucky in mid-February, and I was shocked by that. I lost a little bit of money on that. I still don't understand how that happened. Like, that's the reason why I don't trust Kentucky. Kentucky's way better than Gonzaga, and they somehow lost to them at home. Just like, I that doesn't register with me. But Gonzaga's a lot like Kansas in that they have a solid starting five, not as good at Kansas as starting five, but they have zero depth. Okay, now one thing that hurt them is one of the guys, Steele Venters, who was going to be one of their top guards this year. He was a transfer. He missed the entire year. He got hurt in preseason. And he missed the entire year. And that really hurt them. They had to play this guy named Dusty Stromer, who's a freshman. He's just not ready to be an impact guy. So they really play five guys. And they play like six guys, but I mean, barely they play six guys. But their starting five is good. Graham Ike is a really good center. And they might have beaten St. Mary's in the WCC title game if he hadn't gotten in foul trouble, which he does at times. But if he gets in foul trouble, like, Ike is their best scorer. If he gets in foul trouble, I don't know what their next best option is. Like, they have some decent players, Ryan Nimhard and Hickman and Watson are solid, but this is just not a vintage Gonzaga team. In fact, I got them going out in the first round to McNeese. And guys, by the way, let's get to some teams I think are upset caliber teams. McNeese is one of those teams. I think you should have them beating Gonzaga, in my opinion. Now, don't take my word for it. I think they're a good basketball team. Will Wade from LSU, we know the NCAA scandal. He is now at McNeese, and this is one of the best shooting teams in the entire country. Guys, I watched them play in their conference tournament, and it was so fun to watch them play. Like, they create this, like, frenetic, chaotic style of defense where they're just, like, they're trying to force turnovers, man. And they got, like, I think 4 or 5 guys that have 30 or more steals on the year. Listen to this, guys. They force more than 16 turnovers a game, and they have more than 10 steals a game. That's third in the country. They press you aggressively. They get up in your grill, get up in your business. They aggressively defend the ball, and they just put the pressure on you and force you to turn the ball over. And they have really good, quick, athletic guards that can finish at the rim, and they have guys that can shoot. They can shoot lights out. This is a team that can score. They can defend. They create turnovers. They have everything you need to win in March. They're just McNeese State, and no one ever thinks McNeese State is good because they're usually not. But this is a different team with Will Wade at the helm. They average more than 80 points a game, more than 15 assists a game. And get this, guys. I know it's McNeese. They don't play the toughest schedule on earth. That's true. But they lead the entire country in scoring margin. This is a real deal upset special kind of team. Maybe even a Cinderella kind of team this year. Like, in fact, like, it's almost too good to be true. But I like McNeese to beat Gonzaga. That's certainly one of my teams I'm watching to be like an upset Cinderella caliber team this year. I also like Colorado State as a double-digit team. Mountain West is really good this year, guys. I watched a ton of Mountain West because they had some really good teams. I think, six teams made the tournament this year? Not surprised at all. I thought there was a shot maybe seven. I thought UNLV might get in, but they didn't quite win enough games in the tournament to get there, or the Mountain West tournament. But Colorado State is a 10 seed. They're playing, I can't remember if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but they're playing in one of the first four games. They're playing Virginia. I feel very strong that they're going to beat Virginia. Contrasting styles, Colorado State does play good defense. They can certainly score better than Virginia can. Guys, I don't think Virginia should be in the tournament. Like, there were some teams that got left out of the tournament that I think were just clearly better than Virginia. I think Indiana State is better than Virginia. I think Seton Hall, I think Villanova, for that matter, were better than Virginia this year. Guys, Virginia went on the road, and they lost to Virginia Tech by, 30 points. And that game, they were actually getting beat by 45 points at times in that game. It was a big Monday game. I had to stop watching. I was like, this is absurd. It's not the same Virginia team. They still defend, but they're not even as good defensively. They're good. They're still good defensively. Ryan Dunn's one of the better on-ball defenders in the country. But they just really play a slow pace. So yeah, their games are low scoring, but it's just because they slow the game down so much. They limit possessions. Offensively, they're a train wreck. They're not remotely good offensively. So I don't trust Virginia at all. Colorado State's just a better basketball team, in my opinion. They might lose, but they are a better basketball team. They have been throughout the year. Isaiah Stevens is one of the better point guards that not many people know about in the country. Really dynamic there. Can shoot the ball. Can distribute the ball. Can take you off the balance. Do a lot of things. And they have a really good, complete basketball team. I like this guy named Nick Clifford for Colorado State. Good, athletic, long wing player. So I like Colorado State in that game. And then Colorado State will get a matchup with Texas. I think Texas is kind of a pretender this year. I don't believe in Texas. I think Colorado State is a double-digit seed that could make the Sweet 16. In fact, I might be picking Colorado State to make the Sweet 16. I haven't made any final decisions yet, but certainly one that's on my radar. So I like them as an upset kind of team. A couple more here real quick. Oh, how did I skip them? I love Grand Canyon. The Lopes, the Antelopes. What a mascot, by the way. They are awesome. Again, another team I hadn't watched all year. Watched them in their conference tournament and kind of fell in love. I was like, oh my God, I don't know who they're going to play, but whoever they play, I'm picking the Antelopes to win this game. I'm picking Grand Canyon. I am sticking by it, guys. So they have a couple of dudes, a couple of guards that are really good. Tyon Grant Foster, who actually was a Power 5 guy. Like he was a transfer from Kansas and DePaul. He had a heart condition, so he thought he had to give up the game of basketball, but came back, and that's why he's at Grand Canyon. But he's a really good player. Like, he is a Power Conference caliber player. He's awesome. Gabe McLaughlin and Ray Harrison, two other really good players. McLaughlin can fill it up from the perimeter, shoots over 40%. Harrison, also another good three-point shooter. So they are a really good basketball team. They have a great coach in Bryce Drew. He used to coach at Vanderbilt, and I think he got let go a little too quickly there. And I love the matchup with St. Mary's. It's a 5-12. St. Mary's is good. They're a good team. I just simply don't think that they are significantly, if at all, actually better than Grand Canyon. Like, they're similar. They are guard-driven teams. Mitchell Saxon's a good player on the interior for St. Mary's. He's a big guy, 6'10 guy, can score in the paint. But guard-wise, I think Grand Canyon has better guards, to be honest with you. Now, St. Mary's defends a little better, and that does matter in March, but I told myself I was going to pick Grand Canyon. I'm sticking with it, man. So I love the Lopes, man. That's a really good team. That's a team, if you're looking for an upset, a 5-12 upset, I might look at them. I also like New Mexico out of the Mountain West. They actually ended up, they were not in the tournament before the Mountain West tournament. They were right. They had been most of the year, kind of hit a slump late in the conference schedule, but really caught fire in the Mountain West tournament, actually ended up winning the Mountain West tournament. And that's a good basketball team. Talk about guards, Donovan Dent, Jalen House, Jamal Mashburn Jr. Yes, son of that Jamal Mashburn. That's a good guard trio. Nelly Jr. Joseph is a good guy in the interior, athletic, big for them. Not the biggest guy in the world, but really athletic. And that's a team that, man, I think could absolutely win their first round. And they're 11 seed. They're playing Clemson, who I really liked Clemson in the non-con. I thought they were really good. I was like, man, Clemson might win the ACC. But they just got kind of like us. They regressed as the season went on. And I do not trust their guards. Their two best players, in my opinion, are their bigs and PJ Hall and Ian Shefflin. Shefflin, by the way, Grayson High School, played football there, but chose to play basketball at Clemson. And those are the best players. And I just don't trust teams that their best players are their big guys in the tournament. Your guards are fine-ish. And Clemson has lost too many games this year in the ACC to just bad teams that aren't good. So I actually like New Mexico to win that game. I like them to beat Clemson. That's another team for you. So there are some potential upset candidates for you. I guess I'd also throw James Madison in there. That's a team that beat Michigan State earlier in the year. That's a really, really good basketball team. Wisconsin is a typical Wisconsin team. With the exception that they do have A.J. Storr. He's a difference maker for Wisconsin. He's a different kind of player. They just let this guy play. He could kind of play with outside their system. He's just a dynamic scorer for them. So he's a little bit of a difference maker for them. They're a little bit different because of that. But outside of him, it's still the same old Wisconsin. James Madison is 31-3, guys. Wisconsin's fine. James Madison could absolutely pull that upset. That's another 12-5. I don't think there were any 12-5 upsets last year. This year, might be a couple. So, yeah, a couple teams to watch there. I think that's all I got for you guys. Again, I list those eight teams. Your national champion is going to be one of those eight teams. I can't tell you who it's going to be because right now, honestly, I don't quite yet know who I'm picking. I still got to go through that and make up my mind on that. For last year, like, it was UConn for me all the way. Like, watching them in the Big 12, I mean, I'd watched them all year. I was like, I love this team. In fact, I wanted them to lose some games late in the year, so the odds of them winning the national title were going to go up. Because about like mid-February, I knew I was going to bet on UConn in a future to win the national title. I just wanted them to lose some games so I could get better odds, and they did that. And yes, your boy made bank on UConn last year. I bet on them before the Big East tournament even started to win the national title, and yeah, that hit big. So I felt strong about UConn last year. I don't feel that way about anybody this year. Again, I think there's four or five teams that probably are the teams I would limit to that could actually win it. I just don't know which one I'm going to go with yet. I don't think, like, UConn's really, really good. If I had to pick a team, it'd probably be UConn, but I still don't, they're not the same as they were last year. They're not as good as they were last year. Now, that's fine because it's a different year. Maybe other teams aren't as good either. I do kind of like their bracket. I think they have a pretty clear path to get there, but I don't know. I just don't trust them the way that I trust them last year. I don't have those same feelings, so I got to figure that out myself. But hopefully this was a little bit of a primer for you guys. Maybe don't watch as much college basketball. I want to get on here, give you some thoughts. I want some upset teams maybe to watch. Some teams I really like. Some teams that I like but don't trust. All those things. But yeah, I hope you guys have a lot of fun filling out the bracket. Again, make sure you join our ninth annual Glory UGA maybe next year bracket challenge. We'll have a lot of fun with that. And yes, $100 gift card to Alumni Hall for the winner. But all right, guys, that is all I've got for you here today. Hopefully we'll have some good news to talk about later in the week with Georgia pulling off the win against Xavier tomorrow night. I hope you guys, if you're going to the game, have a heck of a time. If not, root on the dogs from home, and hopefully we can pull it off. But appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. I'm Tyler, and of course, as always, go Dawgs!